list of the papers. Yeah. Nolan needed it. Oh, no, he just needed one. We're good. Thank you, Nolan. This one here? I don't know. I think it's the... I guess. Maybe you put some of the rules on that one.
Let us begin worship tonight. If you would stand with me. Men of faith, rise up and sing. Rise up, women of the truth. Let us sing Shout to the North.
You are God.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God and King.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King, who is now and endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things.
Forever. May tonight we praise you. Let us block out all our problems that have plagued us this week, everything that's distracting us, everything that's taking our attention away from you. Let us just leave that behind and tonight come with open hearts and open minds and give you praise. Amen.
As we know, God knows everything before we even start speaking or asking. He doesn't assume. He doesn't many words. And this song that we're going to sing, it's a new song. It's about that kind of prayer, when you don't need many words to tell that God is great. He is magnificent God, magnificent Lord. Let's come in His presence. Just bring our hearts, leave everything that just disturbs that time of prayer. Put all the thoughts away that take you away from God. Let's just worship His greatness, that He's magnificent. Magnificent God,
magnificent God,
magnificent Lord,
magnificent God.
For laziness, for for the vanity in which we spend our hours and days. Please be merciful to us. Thank you for Jesus, that He paid for all our sins and for our laziness. Thank you for this precious gift. We want to worship You, and we want to feel that this worship time is pleasing to You, and that You are proud of us, that You are ready to encourage us, and that we are faithful servants. God, we love You so much, but we are so sorry that sometimes You think that we don't love You. We want to be close to You. Please keep us on the way that You showed us. Let us follow it. Thank You so much. It is so exciting to be with You. Bless this worship time. In Jesus' name. Amen.
For me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hand, for I will always sing of when Your love came down. I could sing of Your love forever. I could sing of Your love.
Prepare for our message. Let us pray that the Lord prepares us to be sanctuaries, pure and holy, tried and true. And may we all be living sanctuaries for our God.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
Sanctuary.
You may be seated. Our message tonight is being brought to you by Ted Hatfield, our bass guitarist, and it's titled "The Best Day Ever."
If no one can tell, I'll just leave it like it is. B strings. Wow. Time for a new B string. You know, I'm convinced that there are going to be some things that are not in heaven. Ticks, mosquitoes, and B strings. There'll be no B strings in heaven. I think I'll fix this another way. Well, the message is titled "The Best Day Ever," but so is this song. How many have a day or two or three days that you absolutely say, that's the best day ever, that's my favorite day? Can you think of something? Yeah, everybody, we got a lot of hands. Well, I may challenge some of those best days. To celebrate the day that I was born. Maybe there are other days that mean as much or more, like the birth of my children, the day I met my bride. But none of these days can compare to the day I saw the light. All my memories matter to me. Looking back can be a special thing. I love birthdays and holidays, but the day I saw forever, when Jesus rose from the dead, that's the best day ever. The day I met my best friend, when I really needed one. The day my daddy finally said, "Now that's a good song, son." The day I asked her, and the day that she said yes. If all these days rolled into one, they'd still be second best. All my memories matter to me. Looking back can be a special thing. I love birthdays and holidays, but the day I saw forever, when Jesus rose from the dead, that's the best day ever. Now that I know Jesus, every day will be one day closer to eternity. All my memories matter to me. Looking back can be a special thing. I love birthdays and holidays, but the day I saw forever, when Jesus rose from the dead, never knew him, so I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not supposed to admit I don't know how to use it. It's not manly. That's upside down, isn't it? Somebody help me. Because if I put it on there, this will be underneath, right? Hello? Not even on. Oh. Yeah, I'm a technician on the phone. Sorry about that. Okay. Okay, let's try this again. Ah, much better. See, the other one was a right-handed mic. This is a left-handed mic. Well, if you haven't guessed, can y'all hear me okay? Is that right? The best day ever is Easter. That's, of course, what the song was about. But first, I want to go over the origin of the word. How many know the origin of the word Easter? Probably some of you, none of you. Well, there's been a lot of debate about the origin of the word Easter. And it's likely it comes from an ancient word, Ostra or Ostern. I think Ostern is the German spelling. But it was a name for a goddess of fertility, springtime, rebirth. And before we go any further, goddesses, of course, are not real. These folks that believe in goddesses, they're just make-believe. But Easter, like Christmas and even Halloween, they have both pagan and Christian roots. Early Christians adopted the pagan winter festival at the time to celebrate Jesus' birthday. And consequently, they also adopted the pagan springtime festival to celebrate Easter. Pagans, by the way, are people without a religion, or better, I think, just non-Christian. We'll just call them non-Christians. They just want to party. That's what pagans want to do. They just want to party. A pagan might say, let's go find some eggs and eat chocolate bunnies for tomorrow we die. You know, let's party. Chocolate bunnies. Of course, I hate to break it to you, but Easter is not about bunnies or boiled eggs. I just broke some hearts, I know, but it's not. In truth, it's better to call it Resurrection Day. That's a better term for it. But the pagan connection is the reason that we see Easter or Resurrection Day celebrated only one time a year. And the worldly culture, their celebration gave honor to this made-up god, as I mentioned a while ago, right after the first full moon at the official start of spring. And early Christians picked the first Sunday after the first full moon of spring. And that's why you may have noticed that Easter doesn't have a set day. It's a floating holiday, to borrow from the business world. So, other holidays, we have a certain date. But because we follow that really pagan tradition, that's why Easter moves around. The early Christians, they wanted to use the rebirth connection to show the lost culture that Jesus' resurrection is also a rebirth. So they took the rebirth of spring festival to show, hey, you know, this is a rebirth in every sense of the word. It is the rebirth. Now, the early Christians made a classic mistake that I think we still make today. They tried to blend the Christian message with the world's culture in order to reach them and to be relevant. And I think that's a mistake we still make sometimes. The message was written pretty well by God as it is. And so I think sometimes we just try too hard to make it fit. And we see that the majority of people see this Resurrection Day, it's just a day to go to church once a year, dress up nice, hide some boiled eggs, you know, get a ton of candy, a ton of chocolate bunnies. And many of them, the lost world, I would say, are okay with this rebirth of spring connection. Most people understand that the four seasons are a lot like our lives in general. You know, you have a birth, you go through stages of change in your physical life, and then you die. You have spring, the beginning, in summer, you know, stages. And then by winter, you know, that's death. But rebirth to someone who doesn't know Jesus might mean nothing more than, you know, just that great circle of life you may have seen in the Disney cartoons. But it may mean just the next generation taking their place in the world. One generation dies and another generation comes along. That's as far as some people take this whole rebirth thing. And I thought it was odd that some people believe that reincarnation, I'll come back as a drop of rain, or I'll come back as a butterfly. I got news, if you come back as a drop of rain, you didn't come back. You became a drop of rain. You know, you didn't return. You know, to a Christian, though, a believer, a follower of Jesus, it means eternal life. That's what the rebirth means. Not just spiritual rebirth, because there's a lot of spiritual stuff in the news where, you know, everybody's getting spiritual. We've got our crystals and we're, you know, we're experiencing it. But it's genuine physical rebirth. Not just change from the inside. You will be born again physically too. Now, I look at some faces and some of you may be saying, this guy hates holidays and chocolate, man. I can't eat. I can't hide eggs anymore. And I'm not a humbugger. Anybody familiar with that? I'm not a humbugger to Christmas or Easter. But even the lost world can see that we have a problem over commercialization of the holidays and dumbing down. There's a phrase you've heard before, dumbing down of Christmas and Easter. But I was in a Walmart a few days ago, and it was still September at the time. And how many of you have heard of Walmart? It's a little store. There's a few of them around. Anyway, I was in the garden center, and they had the Halloween stocked on one side, and they had all the Christmas stuff on the other. And they had Christmas music playing in the background. Remember, this is September. And I was just thinking, you know, is this not right? So I talked to a couple of employees there, and I said, man, you know, one of these days we're going to run all the holidays together. They'll just have them in 1 month. We get them out of the way and we take a break. And the guy looked at me and said, you know, that's why, and he said this, that's why we say bah humbug to the whole mess. So what should be holy days aren't even holidays anymore. You know, to the pagans, it's not even a party. You know, it's just another day of work. But to me, and to millions of Christians around the world and all throughout history, Easter is Resurrection Day. It's a celebration. It's beyond a party. It's the best day ever. So some of you may say, all right, Mr. Ted, prove it. You know, why is it beyond a party? And why is it the best day ever? Well, if I told you that someday you were going to die, most of you would say, duh, I kind of know that. Even the lost world knows that. And if I said that Jesus really came to earth and died on a cross, you might say, well, that's a matter of history. And a good bit of the lost world even accepts that. He came, he was a unique prophet, he did some things, and he was crucified. They accept that. But what if I said he came back to life a few days later to never die again? The lost world says, once you're dead, you're dead. So party like it's 2007, because there really is no tomorrow. Now, the lost world is right about that one thing. All we have is today, really. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow's not here yet, of course. So where they're still wrong is that they're not accepting that Jesus truly is the Son of God. He died for our sins. He completely paid for everyone's sin in this room. And he paid for even those who would never accept him. Paid for everybody's sins. So you're paid for. I don't know if you know that, but you are. You can say, well, I don't want to believe that. Still paid for. You know? Think about some of the things that you do in your life and you want in your life. I can't get that. Watch somebody say it's paid for. And you just let it sit in there. You know, whether it's a car or a guitar or whatever it is, somebody pays for it, and you say, well, I think I'll just leave it there.
And I assure you, even those who don't accept Him, it's paid for. And He came back from the dead, physically. He has a real body that will go on for eternity. Now, how many of us here tonight are excited about beating death? I am. That's a big deal. I mean, what greater enemy do we have? You think about that teacher that you just... surely some of you have that teacher. You know, that one that just... Or somebody that picks on you in the hall or whatever. Or a boss. But we don't have an enemy like death. That is the enemy. Let's try a few things. The Titans won. Woohoo! That's cute. Titans fans. I got an A on my test. Woohoo! All right. I got extra candy in my Easter basket. Woohoo! All right. I beat death, and I'm going to live forever. And all the people said, there you go. I knew they would get it. Let's try it again. All the people said, all right. It was mentioned the other night, I believe, and you mentioned it, that we wouldn't be meeting here if Jesus hadn't gone to the cross and laid down His life for us and came back from the dead. This building might be a bowling alley or a shoe store or just another social club. And, of course, some people treat church like a social club already. And I love to get together with my fellow believers. This bunch of people here are just wonderful. But I'm here tonight because I'm saved from death and hell by Jesus. That's why I'm here. I want Him to hear me say it out loud in front of everybody. I'm saved from death and hell. Man, that's some good news. He deserves all the credit, and I deserve nothing. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Everybody. Not only are we all paid for, we're all guilty. We all needed to be paid for. So what can we do then? What do we do about this dilemma we're in? Well, I'm going to read a scripture for you. It's Romans 6:8 through 14, if you brought your Bibles, and verse 23. And there's a section, 6:15, through kind of in the center. I won't read, but it's, you can go back later and look at that. It's wonderful. But here it is. "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death that He died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you. For you're not under law, but under grace. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, that's good news, isn't it? I don't know why we don't call it great news, but we've always just called it good news. But it's great news. How many have heard the song, "Live Like You Were Dying"? It'd be hard to miss that one. It's been everywhere. How about this? How about living like you've been saved from death? Maybe we should write that. Maybe we'll get to that. Live like you've been saved from death. Because live like you were dying is basically, you know, let's boil some eggs and eat bunnies for tomorrow we die. That's pretty much what it is. You know, live like you know you're going to die. Party all you can. But I'd rather live like I know I've been saved from death. So can we still say the word Easter? Yeah, I think that's all right. But from now on, understand what it truly is. And let it be an everyday celebration. Not just once a year or once a week on Sunday. Every single day. What are we celebrating? We're sinners who are no longer separated by our sin from God. No longer doomed to an eternal hell. We're paid for. We've accepted through the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is the Son of God and He's risen from the dead to live forever, we're saved. And we will live with Jesus and all the fellow believers forever. And all the people said, woohoo, y'all forgot already. Forgot already. If you haven't accepted Jesus, and you can hear Him tugging at your heart tonight, I have no way of knowing that. Nobody knows if that's going on. And I have no power to do that. I have absolutely no power to make you get that. God draws all men to Him. And I believe if there's anyone here that doesn't know Him, He's doing that now. I trust Him to do that. So don't leave here without calling out to Him. Tell someone. There are plenty of people here that I know, y'all know more people than I know here. But go to someone tonight. If you hear that voice saying, you know what, you need to be saved. You need to accept this message. And there are plenty of Christians here that will pray with you. I will. Anybody will. So don't be afraid to let tonight be the best day ever. Because in truth, this best day ever is the beginning of forever. So amen and woohoo.
Technical difficulties. Thank you, Ted. You know, I was sitting there back there thinking, we could make someone's tomorrow their best day ever by sharing what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. And I think Ted's sermon is also a challenge for us to do that. One is make it our best day ever if we haven't already by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then by sharing that news and making someone else's best day ever. So I challenge you, Ted challenges you, to make that your goal this week. Share Christ with one person that may not know the Lord. Let us stand. Let us lift God's name up and let's sing His praises.
Thank you.
this concludes worship tonight. I need to see the mission trip participants. You're dismissed.
Thank you.
Yeah.